afternoon, everyone. Sure good to see y'all. Looks like we've got a full house today. It looks very good. Glad everybody's able to get out. Sorry about hearing about Barry and his wife. Since many of us have had the COVID, we understand what they're going to go through. Have you noticed the beautiful leaves on the trees? Aren't they beautiful? I've seen some pictures on Facebook people putting on, and you see some just gorgeous areas and the mountains and everything, and it's just so beautiful. But they keep falling on the ground. That's the problem. Joe, you need to catch more. I'm telling you, in my house, I got thousands you can catch. I got two big maple trees, and boy, they put off a lot of leaves. Anyhow, it lets us know that fall is near, though, doesn't it? So another season is starting. We went to the feast, and usually, since it was early, trees weren't turning and stuff, so you really didn't have the fall feeling like you did before. And then with everything else that happened, it sort of wasn't quite what it used to be. You know, it's always nice to see them, but then they fall, like I said, and then you got to rake them up. You have to dispose of them by bagging or burning in a fire. Now, that's fun, burning in a fire. The raking up, that's not fun anymore at all. But, you know, when I was a young boy and leaves fell and were in the big piles, oh, we loved it, didn't we? We just run and jump and jump in those leaves and just throw them all over each other and just have a great time. I'm sure our parents didn't appreciate it by the time we got home the way we looked, but we sure had a good time. Today, it's just a lot of good memories because there's no way I could want to ever do that again. But for the young, it's wonderful. Trouble now is winter's coming. Used to love that as a young boy, too. Used to go out and play in the snow, ice skate, you know, do everything in the winter you do, big bonfires and everything, sleigh riding. I don't have that type of fun now in the winter. As you get older, certain things are really a lot of fun, are not the same. I like being in a fire, in a house, watching the fire burn and be warm. I just thought I'd throw that in as a beginning, let you know that it is beautiful out here with the fall weather, and then warn you that winter's coming. Today, I would like to explore two options that you and I have in our lives. As the two biggest options we have, and we have to make the right option. Because if we don't, the penalty is very serious. If you turn with me to Matthew 6:24, this has been said many times. We're just going to break it down a little bit more today, maybe, than normal. It tells you and I, well, if I get the right, if I get the 26 doesn't work, does it? It's supposed to be. That's 6:24. I should have put in the marker for the first one. I thought the first one would be easy to get to, but I guess I turned too far. Okay, here we go. Verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either we hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Well, that's our two choices. You either serve God, you and I serve God, or we serve mammon, which is, let me get the definition here. I wrote the definition down for mammon, went to the encyclopedia. If I get out my papers here. Mammon, according to the 1969 New Webster Dictionary of the English Language. A little old, wouldn't you say? Mammon, riches abundant, possessions, wealth, as a personification of affluence, of worldliness, hence riches. In other words, what matters to them is money. Money. And then guess who plays on that quite a bit? Satan the devil, right? He says, temptation, temptation. Here we go, temptation. And many people fall for it. You know, if we fall for Satan's tricks, Satan's deceptions, Satan's lies, we can be taken in by him. But this is one of the big ones that he uses on people, because people say, well, I'd like to have that, and I'd like to have that, and boy, if I could just do this, oh, if I could just work on Saturday, man, oh, I can't, no, I, but I could, but I can't, but I could, but I can't. Right? That's tests people have. That's how Satan tests you. He puts something before you because you'd like to have that new car or whatever it may be, a home. And if I could just work on Saturday and work that time and a half, man, I could have that. He doesn't tell you what comes along with that. See, so he's deceiving you both ways. Because if you break the Sabbath, what does that mean? You've broken God's law. And if we break God's law, and we do it knowingly, there is a penalty. And if we keep doing it, and we know it, it could lead to eternal death. The physical body, done. And you'd be forgotten. Because it's a physical life will be gone. The spiritual life comes from God the Father. So I thought I'd take you to Matthew 19:16. You've heard this before. This young man basically had eternal life. Had eternal life promised to him. That means it's a done deal. You've heard the story, the rich young man, 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He's asking for eternal life now. He didn't say, I can do this or have that. Can I have eternal life? He's asking to be with God forever and to be in his kingdom and to be a part of it. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He just told him there, if you keep the commandments, you can have a chance to enter life. And then he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt do no commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. I've always done this. Aren't I good? You know? What lack I yet? So Christ tells him. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. The boy asked what he wanted, what he had to do. Christ told him. What did the boy do? But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was wealthy. He had physically, he had everything anyone could want. Servants, good food, wonderful castle probably to live in. He had it all. Physically. But Christ had basically given that young man an opportunity for eternal life. And be one of his disciples that was with him. When you get right down to it. And the boy could not look over the things he had and see this one man past one man and see what he was offering him. So he walked away sorrowfully. You and I are susceptible to the evil one, Satan, the devil. And in 1 Peter, if you'll turn with me there, you've heard it many times. I won't turn there. Yes, I will, because it says something else in it. 1 Peter 5:8. If I go too long, Ron, just back there and... Okay, in verse 8, it tells you be sober. Well, let's go back to 7. Well, let me see. Before it's telling you things it said do, but I won't read all that. You can go back and read it from 1 to where we're going to. But it says, in verse 6 it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God wants to exalt each and every one of us. He wants to exalt us to become sons of his and his kingdom. That is the reason Christ died. Not just for you and me as the first fruits, but for the whole world. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You realize how strong a lion is? Do you realize if you met a lion face to face, unless God helped you, you don't have a chance. And he is definitely that type of lion. If we don't have God, if we're not doing God's will, if we're not serving God, this lion will overtake us. He will somehow break our armor. It's so important that we understand our enemy, and he definitely is our enemy. He hates each and every one of you in here that love God. And God loves each and every one of us in here because we're here on his holy Sabbath day doing his will, singing praises to him, and he's saying, I want to be your son. That's what we're striving for. And this evil one, Satan, is trying to stop you and I from being in that wonderful kingdom that comes to each and every one of us who do God's will and finish the race. We are so blessed to understand God's word. Many people read this word and have no idea what they've read. You and I understand it because God opened our mind to it. And that's why we're here today. And we need to be so thankful. When Thanksgiving comes around, we need to be so thankful when we give prayers. And thank God that we have what we have, but thankful that we still understand and we're still his children and ask him to help us to continue the road to victory. But we need to know our devil, what he is. That's why it tells you in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot. And if we don't pick, guess what? Who are we like? Which city are we like? It's back in Revelation. Laodicean. And what does God say about the Laodicean? Let's go back and read it. It wasn't in my notes, but let's go back and read it. I think it's Revelation 3. It's in Revelation 3. So, I just don't remember what verse. Here we go. 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write these things, saith Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. You and I are so blessed. And because we are sometimes, we do take it for granted. You know? Well, I've been doing this for how many years? I've been 50-some years. And I hate to tell you, I'm still a sinner at times, just like you. We all sin. That's why we have Passover every year. And every year, I'm sure we all have something to repent about. And of course, we've repented many times before that. But the smarter we are and repent quickly whenever we break one of God's laws, the easier it will be for each of us to walk the straight and narrow. Because it definitely is against the grain of the world. God tells us that we can't serve Him and Mammon. And that's the reason why He tells us that. Because He knows that if we try, we will become a Laodicean. Most people. Maybe there are a couple who could possibly do it. But the odds of it will be very small. Now, when I'm talking about riches, I'm not talking about somebody that makes $200,000 or $300,000. We're talking about multimillionaires. Try to change Gates or one of these people and say, hey, God says you need to give this up. And I'll give you. He says, oh, yeah, man, you see what I got? He wouldn't even listen to you. He'd probably laugh at you. Because he doesn't understand God. God has not opened his mind to the truth that you and I have. It's the precious truth of eternal life being offered to us. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 14:12 now. Talking about Satan's rebellion here. And we won't go into it, but Satan was sent here to get this world ready. He was one of the top three. He was an archangel. He was loved. He was trusted by God. He gave him big things to do. But what happened? It wasn't enough. Somehow iniquity was found in him. And all of a sudden, Satan decided, well, hey, I'm this most beautiful archangel. And, well, I know everything God does. I can do anything. So vanity took him away. And the thing is amazing to me, always has been, and I'm sure it is to you when you read it and think about it, he took a third of the angels with him. A third of the angels went with him on this rebellion. Rebellion. Verse 12 it says, "And how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground?" He'd come from everything and had all the freedom there was and had everything that was mine to work with. How's it feel to be cast down to the ground? He threw him to the earth. That was disgraceful. He said, this is all you can do now. You do not have the power you had before. Which this weakened the nations. For thou hast said to thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. Can you imagine what Satan thinks every minute of every day? Every minute of every day of time. I was here. I was, oh, and he took it away from me. He doesn't look at himself that he caused it. He blames God just like everybody does whenever they want an excuse. It's your fault. It's your fault. I didn't do it. He did it to me for no good reason. Oh yeah, I was going to try and take over. Yeah, well yeah, but we won't talk about that. And so his goal since then has been to take everyone else with him. He knows his finish. He knows what it comes when Christ returns. You think someone is not afraid? I guarantee you, he has to be afraid. That when God finally quits putting up with we humans and everything else that Satan's doing to us and bringing out the worst in us, he knows when God says that's it, that's it. And he hates each and every one of us, and he wants to take anyone who loves God to be with him. Of course, you're going to lose your life if you follow him and we don't repent. The world doesn't repent. Anyone doesn't repent. They're gone. It's over. Once God finishes his plan, we're either in God's kingdom or we no longer have existence. So now when you take what God has to offer you and I, compared to what Satan has to offer, we always need to keep that in mind. You can have these physical things here. You can become as mean as you want. You can kill as many people as you want. But if you don't change and become like God, repent, then your end is you're going to hell, which means you're going to burn up and you're done as a physical being. Hopefully, as first fruits, all of us are going to be there. We've been called, we've been chosen to understand and have that opportunity. Let's be sure we never forget it. Turn with me to Proverbs 1:7, if you would. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Down in verse 10 it tells him, because he's talking about God's law. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Do not listen. Do not be coerced into doing something that is evil. Do not let somebody work on your vanity to have you do something that you know is wrong." Turn over to Proverbs 3:5-7. This is still talking. It says, read 1-4 also, but right now I'm going to but read it in coherence with all of it. It's all correction. It's all understanding. But I'm just picking out a few. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." We need to fear God because he is coming back and he will have judgment on all of us, the whole world. We're either going to be with him in that great kingdom that he has prepared in the holy city, or we won't. We will no longer exist. Go with me to Ecclesiastes 1:2. This is one of the biggest things that Satan uses on human beings, along with his lying, but it's one of the things he uses. Verse 2 it says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanities of vanities, all is vanity." We can fall into vanity so quick, and Satan knows exactly how to get to us if we are not close to God. Because you see, if we listen at all, We have got to break in our armor. Because we know we shouldn't listen to him. We know what is right and what is wrong because of God's law. God has given us his law for our good. So that we will use that, learn, and build our character and integrity to be loyal and obedient, and that we'll not be able to be shaken by the evil one. As we build God's character through study and prayer, we are growing in grace and knowledge. I looked up integrity, and I'll read to you the definition of integrity. A characteristic or personality trait that is characterized by truthfulness and fairness. A commitment to a certain set of values. What's our values? God's law. God's law is our values. Particularly moral ones. An unimpaired state. Integrity can be defined as an alignment of your conduct with what you consider to be good individuals of integrity, demonstrate a principle commitment to their beliefs and values in all circumstances. They strive to reflect the highest ethical standards. In every situation, a person of integrity is determined by their convictions, based on their understanding of right and wrong. They direct their conduct accordingly. Integrity is the hallmark of authenticity. I can't say the word. Authenticity, anyhow. No matter how external circumstances change, their internal character remains unchanged. In other words, our integrity is part of our armor. Being honest is one of the qualities that define integrity. In a sentence, Edwards is a man of unwavering integrity. Every good leader has two important qualities. What do you think they are? Integrity and courage. To stand up for their integrity is what it gets right down to. If we don't have God's integrity in us, with his law and his way of life being our number one thing, then we can be broken. But if we do, right here tells you what the two qualities that are really good with a person who has integrity, and our God has perfect integrity. His word tells us that in every way. His laws tell us that. But his integrity, he has good integrity and he has great courage. You and I have been blessed with a calling. You and I need to make sure that we are working on our lives. And that God's integrity is in our heart and on our minds. So that when Satan comes trying to knock you or me down, we are able to say, get away from me, Satan. With conviction. And not let what he says bother us. Because we have God's laws written in our hearts and our minds. And God gives us the strength and the integrity if we're obeying and doing his will. To bring glory to his name by resisting Satan. Can you imagine every time that we don't sin when we're tempted? and say, no, God says this is wrong, how pleased God is. Look back. Look back at your kids. Try and figure out, we're God's kids. We're His children. Whenever you saw your child do something that you had told them or instructed them and saw that they did it right, what were you? You were proud as a peacock. Well, I was. Maybe you weren't. But anyhow, when you see your children growing and developing and becoming fine people, you're proud. And you're saying, good, I hope he continues that, or she continues that the rest of her life. She understands that now, because little kids do things, but you know, then they have to grow up too. And they have to face reality, and mom and dad isn't there exactly to stop them if they go wrong. So the more they're taught when they're young, the more they have of God's understanding when they get older. And thankfully, a lot of the young people continue right on. And that's what we need. Our hope, our faith, and our love is to be for our living God. He is to be number one in our life. He's never taking number two. If He's not number one on our list, we can play games and Satan can work on and say, well, it's not that bad. You know, you just slipped once, or you just da-da-da. Well, I don't know about you, but if you start slipping, you start slipping, and it's a slippery slope. That's why it's so important that each of us want to be in God's kingdom. Now, if you turn with me to Genesis 3:22, let's go back to Adam and Eve. Well, this is what I want, but anyhow, wait just a second. I want to go back. Let's go. Well, anyhow, Adam and Eve chose which tree? The tree of good and evil. You and I had the same opportunity to taste of the other tree, because it's in God's kingdom, the tree of life. The tree of life is there, and we'll have 12 fruits, one for each month. A fruit that we can taste, we can eat, and see what a blessing it is to be with God. Turn to me with Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of that tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. So Adam and Eve were deceived by who? Satan, the devil. And they paid the price. They paid the price. They didn't know they were naked. They knew they were naked. They had children. And one son killed the other. So they had the great and good part of their life was in the Garden of Eden. But they made the wrong choice. And they had to suffer in the physical life, just as you and I are suffering from the evil Satan, what is happening in our country today, throughout the world. And yet, the more the country seems to do, the more they're turning against God. And God will only put up with us so long. But you and I need to make sure that we are true, that we build God's character, and we build His integrity in our lives, so that we will be true to God till our race is over. And then you and I will be able to be in that great city, the New Jerusalem, with our God and those who are there. Some we don't even know. We know about the 24 elders. We know about all the angels, but I'm sure there's a lot of stuff we don't know. But we will be there, and we'll be able to eat of the tree of life. And that life will be forever and ever and ever by the time we get there. That's an honor for each of us. So let's be sure, as we face wintertime, as we face the world, what it's doing, let's be sure that our light is shining. Because that's what God has called you and I to do. And if we don't have the understanding of choosing the right master and doing it, we will not be that light. Because the light that we're supposed to be showing is the fruits of God's Spirit, God's laws, and love. For our God is love. I believe it's 1 Timothy 4:7, if I remember correctly, but I think it's that. You know, our God is love, and we are to become people who are of love, kindness, and caring. So as we go about this winter and the things that are going on, let's be sure that we study, we pray, and we ask God to help us to truly always choose Him, the right master, the master of love, the master of care, the master of gifts, the master who we will be with as a son in His divine kingdom if we finish the race.